To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Hi, Mark DeLuzio, back at you, Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. This is episode 60, and it's titled, Yes, Minneapolis is an Insurrection. And you can hear a lot of people banter about whether or not this is a insurrection, just like they banter about their armchair definition as to whether or not we create an act of war. What's the definition of a vaccine? What's the definition of a recession? And everybody seems to weigh in based on their limited knowledge and also a reflection of our poor education system, because we are just not training people properly in basic civics 101, which is one of the main reasons for this podcast, is to get people to understand the Constitution. I am not a constitutional scholar, but I can read and I can learn and I can study. And it's just incredible, even when you see the pundits out there who position themselves as these big scholars, constitutional scholars, like Mark Levin, they sometimes all have agendas to take a position that they take. So you got to sift through a lot. And I always go back to not what a Mark Levin or Sean Hannity says. I go back to, what did our founding fathers say about these things? Okay. So this is episode 60, and I want to start out with a definition of insurrection. And I'm going right to Webster's 1828 dictionary, where he wrote that dictionary for the time. And, you know, one of the things he wanted to do is memorialize the language back then. He knew that definitions would change, meanings would change, and also interpretations would change. And so the words that you see in his dictionary, which I think is an absolute incredible piece of work, reflect the words that were commonly understood at the time. So, remember, I should probably do a whole episode on Webster's dictionary, but let me read what he wrote about insurrection. First of all, he called that a noun, which it is. I guess you can ask, it's a verb too, right? A rising against civil or political authority. An open and active opposition of a number of persons to the execution of law in a city or state. It is equivalent to sedition, except that sedition expresses a less extensive rising of citizens. It differs from rebellion, for the latter expresses a revolt or an attempt to overthrow the government, to establish a different one, or to place the country under another jurisdiction. Okay. He goes on and talks about mutiny, which has to do with the military, so I'm not going to get into right now. Okay. But insurrection is, however, used with such latitude as to comprehend either sedition or rebellion. Okay. So the original definition of insurrection, and I want to focus in on the opposition of a number of persons to the execution of a law in a city or state. What law are we talking about? When the ICE agents go into any city, and by the way, ICE is in every state in this nation. People say they don't belong in our state. Really, they're in all 50 states right now. Okay, and they have been for the longest time. So yes, they do belong there, because their job is to go internal to pull illegals out of our country. Okay, that's their role. But it, again, the opposition of a number of persons to the execution of a law in a city or state. What law are we talking about? We're talking about Title 8 of the U.S. Code. Title 8 of the U.S. Code is our immigration laws. That's exactly what they're there for. And when you, we're going to get a little bit into the Insurrection Act and the president's power to deploy the military under that act. Okay. So I want to keep this in mind that the governor, the mayors, the police chiefs, remember, no other police are associated with these illegal protests. And why are they illegal? Again, you're going to hear on the pundits say, well, they have a right to protest peacefully. Yes, they do. These are not peaceful when you barge into a church and disrupt a mass. It's not peaceful when you light things on fire. It's not peaceful when you block traffic, when you attempt to run over an ICE agent, when you throw snowballs or bottles of frozen ice, water, through car windows. This does not equate to peaceful. Do I really have to look up the word peaceful in Webster's dictionary to be able to tell us that these protests are not peaceful? Okay. So anyway, by definition, it's definitely an insurrection. Okay. So I want to move into another part of the U.S. Code, Title 10. And this is covered under sections 251 through 255. It's called the Insurrection Act of the United States on the U.S. Code, Title 10. And let me read it to you. The Insurrection Act is a United States federal law that grants the president authority to deploy active duty U.S. military forces in or federalized National Guard troops within the United States to restore order under extreme circumstances. What are those extreme circumstances? An insurrection, a rebellion, or widespread civil disorder which overwhelms state and local authorities. If a state is unable or unwilling to protect the constitutional rights of its citizens. And by the way, ICE agents fall under that category. They should be protected too. Okay, why are they any different? But here is a blatant attempt to harm our citizens. They're now calling the police in. People are being wronged. Crimes are being committed. The police are nowhere to be found. And I've also heard that when they're called, they, hey, buddy, I can't help you. Okay? And the other reason that the president can deploy through the Insurrection Act is federal law cannot be enforced through ordinary law enforcement means. So you've got these governors, Tampon Tim, you've got these mayors. Somebody called him a boy toy mayor the other day. But you got these mayors, you got these officials, these public officials, elected officials, who are intentionally not enforcing the law. They're intentionally violating their oath that they took to the Constitution, because they all take relatively the same oath to protect your constitutional rights for the people in Minnesota. And I've got a podcast episode on this. When a city says we're a sanctuary city, they're basically saying federal law doesn't matter. Title 8 doesn't matter. The supremacy clause, yeah, it's not the law of the land because we don't like the law. You don't have that option. You don't have that option not to follow U.S. law. Whether you like the law or not, it doesn't matter. Okay? Of course, if the law is unconstitutional, you might have another argument to be made that you can actually, you know, revolt against that. But that's not what we're talking about, okay? These people are coming out and saying, we're not following that law. We're a sanctuary city. You're all welcome here. In violation of Title 8 of our U.S. Code, which is the immigration law. Now, There's another law I want to talk about, Title 18, okay, Section 1385. And it's called the Posse Comitatus Act. That act prevents the president from using federal military forces in domestic law enforcement. So we were very adamant that we couldn't just deploy troops to do whatever we wanted, okay? However, in that act, there's one exception. The Insurrection Act serves as a statutory exception to the Posse Comitatus Act. And it allows the president to bypass those restrictions under qualifying conditions. And those conditions I just mentioned, okay? An insurrection, a rebellion, widespread civil disorder, a state's unable or unwilling to protect its citizens' constitutional rights, or federal law cannot be enforced through ordinary law enforcement means at the local or state level. And I've heard so many pundits say that there's a 10th Amendment violation, separation of federal and state rights, and this is a state rights issue, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. And I'll tell you why it's not. Two sections in the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8 gives Congress the power to call forth militia to suppress insurrections. Okay, you're saying, well, the president is part of the executive branch. He's not part of the legislative branch, so the Article 1 doesn't apply to the president. Fair comment. However, Article 2 is where it kicks in. Article 2, Section 3. Article 2 is all about the executive branch. And for those of you in Rio Linda, that's the president. I love saying that. God bless Rush Limbaugh. I miss him so much. But Article 3 talks about the Take Care Clause. It's not called that in the Constitution, but it's called the Take Care Clause. And it requires the president to ensure that federal laws are faithfully executed. President Trump enforcing Title 8 is part of his constitutional obligations when he took the oath to uphold the Constitution. Why Biden was not impeached for not following his oath to Title 8, I have no idea. I actually asked Speaker Mike Johnson that question. And his answer was, well, he's breaking a lot of constitutional laws like tuition reimbursement. I go, whole time out. And also the War Powers Act about president sending troops to war. Tuition reimbursement is not on my list of constitutional infringements. You know, there are really important ones and there are other ones that are, yeah, they matter, but let's just talking about the ones that really matter here. This affects so many people, and seriously affects them, right? So I challenged him directly, but again, a lot of these guys are just great with word salads. They really are great with word salads. But the Take Care Clause says the president must enforce the laws, not the laws that he likes and discount the ones he doesn't like. He doesn't have that option. He doesn't have that choice to pick and choose which laws he and the executive branch are going to enforce. He simply doesn't have that call. Okay? The Insurrection Act has been used a lot by a lot of presidents over the years. Okay. Whiskey Rebellion in 1794, Civil War enforcement, the desegregation issues in Little Rock in 57, civil rights unrest several times in the 60s, President Johnson, the Los Angeles riots in 1992. It's been used a lot, been used by JFK. Okay. The Insurrection Act has been used in the past. People are making out that this is, if President Trump does use the Insurrection Act, they're making out like this is a one-time, first-time deal. And of course, they're going to spin it as some kind of big infringement on their rights. Meanwhile, people are being harmed. Burnings being burnt down. People being run over by cars. We don't care about those rights, do we? We don't care about the rights of the people that were murdered, raped, tortured, kidnapped. The child the porn rings. The pedophiles. The thefts. The extortion. We don't care about that, right? We're protecting a bunch of illegal criminals. And I heard the other day that that Governor Tampon Tim there said that women are pregnant women are being dragged by their hair down the street. He actually said that. He's invoking violence. Pregnant, think about that. Pregnant women are being dragged by their hair down the street. Show me the video on that one. Everybody has their cameras out, their phones out. Show me that one. And most of the mindful of mush public is going to believe some of that stuff. Hey, did you hear that they're dragging pregnant women down the street by their hair? First of all, why were they dragging down the street? Number one, where are they taking them to? And they pull them by their hair? And they're pregnant? Well, and first of all, what's a pregnant woman doing out in a dangerous place like that? That's the other thing you want to ask yourself. So, I mean, the whole thing's a bunch of malarkey, right? So I just look at this and say it's very close to the president pulling the trigger on the Insurrection Act. Okay. And again, I want to go back one more time before we close and talk about the definition in Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is kind of like my Bible for the definition of words. Okay. And I've used it several times in this podcast to go back and define what war is. What does bear, B-E-A-R, mean, and the right to bear arms, and a lot of other reasons I've used it in the past. A very handy thing to have. And again, I'll have to say that 2 years ago when my wife said, well, Mark, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want a dictionary. Said, what are you, some kind of nerd? yeah, I'm a nerd. Constitutional nerd, I guess. I wish everybody was. But again, insurrection, arising against civil or political authority. Boom, check mark on that, right? The open and active opposition of a number of persons to the execution of law in a city or state. Check mark on that one. Title 8 of the U.S. Code. Okay. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's definitely an insurrection. And if it's not calmed down and eventually hope we go away, you got to remember, a lot of these people that are there are paid protesters. They haven't the foggiest about what they're protesting about. They don't really care, but they're paid protesters, okay? And it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I hope we don't have to put troops out there. I really do hope that doesn't happen. It's just not a good look for our country. But let me tell you something. Tim Walz and the mayor out there, whatever his name is, they're not good looks for this country either. And it's mind-boggling to me what's going on. And to me, it's no coincidence that the whole Somali fraud scheme with these daycare centers and everything else is now kind of taking a back seat to this insurrection. You know, it's one of those, hey, let's change the subject. Let's divert, which the liberals are phenomenal at doing. Let's divert the attention. So I think President Trump knows that, which is why he has every right already to call in the national, the U.S. Military to quell this whole issue here, right? He has every right already to do it, but he's not. And I think he's playing it smart because if he does, it will garner all of the national attention and totally take the focus off of the corruption, the billions of dollars of taxpayer money that's been going to all these state officials, these Somali daycare centers, and what have you, okay? And of course, anybody who opposes that will be called a racist, will be called a anti-this or a phobe this or a phobe that, Oh yeah, don't forget fascist. And you might as well throw Hitler in there too while you're at it and get a good rounded set of adjectives to call people, right? So I guess, I hope this can be resolved without troops and then get right back into this corruption thing and figure out what's going on, because a lot of the corruption has to do with illegal immigrants. You mark my word on that. And that's why this is all tied together. Okay. All right. I hope that helps you. It helps explain the Insurrection Act and the fact that what's going on there now is an insurrection. It's not a peaceful protest. It's not executing your First Amendment rights to protest peacefully. Okay. Even though protest is never used as a word in the First Amendment. But protest, So episode 60, yes, Minneapolis is an insurrection. And I hope this has been helpful for you and gives you a little bit of ammunition to combat your liberal aunt when she comes over and just virtue signals how awful the president is, and how awful you as a Republican, or a conservative, I should say, is. A little bit of ammo for you, okay? God bless you guys. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.